Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are again. First of all, I want to apologize for last week for not being able to broadcast. I was feeling under the weather and didn't get a chance to get out, but was put out that we didn't have a show. But here we are. This is July 8th, 2013, and we're glad to be here. And we just came through another Independence Day and enjoying the time. So we're going to have a special guest this evening. Ms. Vonda Howard is going to be here this evening. And when she comes in, we'll bring her in. But right now, we just want to let you know that we thank you all for the support and everything that you always do. And Word Sexy Radio is always happy to oblige for you. So we'll keep you going. But right now, I'm going to bring in my sidekick and my partner, D.B. Head. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening, sir. How's it going?
I'm doing just fine. And I had just apologized to everyone about, not being here last week myself. You know, it's been a little under the weather and just had to get myself to the doctor, but everything is fine. I just wanted everybody to know I'm good to go. So how is your 4th of July? I'm sure you had some fireworks going in your life.
Man, yeah.
I'm sure you had some shit going on like you always do. We know that. So, did you have a good time?
Man, yeah, you know, like, got to see some family, got to see some friends. So, you never realize how much you enjoy it until you see them. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Got to see the family again.
Yeah, I understand that. That's good. And, I was supposed to have been coming down there this week. And actually, it was supposed to be 2 weeks this month. But all that got canceled until next month. So it's now going to be August 5th to the 16th that I will actually be in the Dallas area. So I'm going to be working toward that, trying to get down there for that. So that'll be the plan. So for those who was looking for me this week and today especially, I am not in Dallas. I am still in Kansas City. But anyway, it's hot and humid, and I'm sure it's very hot down there where you guys are. Well, we're supposed to have Londa Howard today, but I don't know if she's going to come. She's supposed to have been coming. She knew that the time was changed to this week, and then there's some other authors as well that's invited. So if they don't come, then we'll just talk about it, you know, about some of the things. You know, what's really hitting me right now, and I'm sure it's bothering a lot of people, is this trial, the way it's going to end up, the way it's looking like it's going to end up, the Trayvon Martin trial. What's your comments on that, Phoebe? Because I know you, I don't know if there's something strong in your mind or not, but what do you think about that? I mean, with the testimony and things that have happened so far up to this point.
You want to know the honest to God truth, Red? I refuse to watch the trial. And the reason being is because I honestly believe that they stacked the audience to get the audience, the jury, to get them off. I just do.
Well, yeah.
And I don't want to get caught up in you know, all the truth and whatnot just to be disappointed.
Well, I understand that because what I'm seeing so far, I would not even only is the jury possibly set up, but I mean the way they're doing the cross-examination, like they had his father on today, you know, the defense calls. And that right there is like, what? The defense is calling? I mean, that's trying to discredit his own father by calling him up, asking questions about was that really his voice and all this stuff. And did he really hear the voice? Or he just, because he had said he didn't hear it. Well, they tried to say he didn't hear the voice. And he said he never said that. I mean, you know, just any kind of way to make it where this man will get away. Even his, there had been some people up there that were saying his trainer, who trained him supposedly in martial arts and everything, said that he was weak, that he never really learned the craft and all this. So, you know, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just a whole bunch of stuff. And it is a setup. I believe that he is definitely going to get off. I hate to say it. It would shock me if this man goes to jail for this murder, because the way it's looking, it just does not look like it's going in their favor. I just don't see it at all. And it's going to be some riots and things are going to happen because of it. So, I mean, it is what it is. I hate to say it, but, you know, and I can be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. But what I'm seeing, it just doesn't seem like it's going to end. And with six white women, what is it, five white women and one Latino woman that's on the jury, how did they come up with that? I mean, I don't understand that anyway.
Like I said, you know, it gives what they did, the only reason why they tried them is to give the appearance of impropriety, you know, so that it didn't look like, you know, George Zimmerman wasn't just going to get away scot-free. But
right,
that was it. You know, I knew when they took this long to pick a jury what it was.
Right.
And when they were like, yeah, you know, we're not going to have any black people on this jury. Well, you know, that's just like not putting any white people on the OJ jury. You know what I'm saying? And then
right,
wondering, like, oh, he got off. No big surprise there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
absolutely,
all in all, the only reason why I refuse to watch it is because I know what's going to happen. You know, don't get me wrong. If it goes the other way, if they find him guilty of something, you know, yes, that will be, it'll feel like a burden off my shoulders, because it
right,
will mean that justice has prevailed. But I don't too much count on justice these days. You know, with everything
yeah,
that's going on, everything seems to go the exact opposite of the way it should.
Yeah. And, I have to say that I agree with you in a lot of things. You know, just like we can take another case that was on the Stand Your Ground incident where a woman was actually being...
You talking about the black woman?
Yeah, that was being beaten by her husband. She did shoot the gun up in the air, but she didn't point it at him, and they gave her 20 years for that.
20 years for that.
20 years. So, you know, I mean, I just don't understand the stand your ground law, and I really don't understand Florida. I mean, I did at one point wanted to live in Florida, but Florida comes up a lot of things, you know, election problems, all kinds of shit. I mean, what's going on in Florida?
Hey, like, I lived there for 4 years. You know, when I was going to college at Bethune-Cookman.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, during that time in college, you know, you're not really paying too much attention to any politics and things outside. You know, what you did know was just stay away from the cops. You know,
right.
Because the thing was, because back when I was in college, you know, spring break was really big in Daytona Beach. But there was a difference between, you know, black spring break and white spring break. White spring break, they basically had a whole month, and the police didn't even, get to a lot of the crimes that was going on. Black spring break was dedicated to one weekend, and they brought in cops it was kind of like, it wasn't as hardcore as Freak Night. It was just Black Beach weekend. You know, but Red, I'm telling you, they would bring in cops from other states, you know, to watch us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, even though the crimes, you know, during the spring break, which was typically all of March, even though those crimes, you know, would be the amount of crime going on would be astronomical, they still didn't bring any new cops. It was just like, hey, you know, it's spring break. And when we come to town, all of a sudden, you know, we got to quadruple our manpower. So, I mean, we all knew that. We all knew what it was, and we all knew what it was about. There was no illusions that, you know, hey, maybe they'll treat us fairly. No, it was never that.
Right. And, you know, it's a shame that this kind of thing is still going on in our society, in our life, that, you know, we try to get away from it saying, okay, racism, blah, 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 but it just keeps coming back. It just keeps popping back, and it keeps coming in and showing its ugly head in all kinds of avenues in different places. You know, it's just amazing that I don't know. It just keeps coming back. No matter what we do, what we try to do, we try to go for it, and it just seems to be there. And I just don't understand why it has to be. When are we going to get past that? And that's why I think it's so hard when we look at that. We got it with others, and then when we bring it within ourselves, that's even worse. I don't know if it's worse to, you know, with our own doing it to each other or with them doing it to us.
The thing is there is, I live in Texas, which is super conservative. But if anybody asks me, I'm independent. Why? Because there's no idea, there's no one side with all the great ideas. You know what I'm saying? And I firmly believe that. The thing is if we can meet somewhere in the middle, you know, most of those ideas would make sense. But now everything's unilateral, one side. I'm super Democrat or I'm super Republican, and there can be no happy meeting place. The problem that I'm seeing is that whenever racism and obvious overt racism comes around, you know, conservatives want to dismiss it. You just want to bring in race, yak, 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 yak. But then I was like, well, then why is it every time, you know, we want to bring up race, you know, it's okay for conservatives to bring up OJ and how he, quote-unquote, got off. I always say he didn't get off. He was found innocent. But you always know how people feel when they say those two words, got off. Because what they're really saying is he should have been guilty. And I tell people simple as this. Unless you were in that courtroom or you watched any of those people get stabbed, you don't have the evidence that the jury had. It was 12 of them. And there was no hung jury. There was no mistrial. There was no retrial. They said straight up, he's innocent, period. Now, whether you like the result or not. But the thing is, to this day, the trial happened in 96. To this day, that was 17 years ago. And people will still bring up OJ getting off. OJ getting off.
Actually, it was in 95.
He got.
I know what you're saying, He didn't actually go. Well, I remember the trial exactly where I was at when it happened.
It was
I was still in the military. Yeah, it was in 95. It was let's see, it was like October, around that time frame when they found him innocent. Because I was in a class in the military that, and we were in a stationary area where we had to be, you know how you go in these classes, you can't go anywhere. Well, anyway, we was in a situation where they let us watch that because they knew that was going to happen. And they let us see the results. And I remember that vividly because it was like, okay, he got away. I'm so glad that they didn't find him innocent. I mean, guilty of something that he didn't do. I mean, because all the evidence showed truly that he didn't do it. Okay, and I'm not saying that he got away with something because he didn't. But the thing is we were just happy because, you know, that they didn't lock him up. But they still got him anyway for something else. Even though he did, you know, they had to find something else to get him. They just wanted to get him, and they didn't care how. But
of course not.
But for that trial, I mean, it was just like the man was found innocent because he was innocent. And, you know, Johnny Cochran did a great job. Him and Kevorkian, or not Kevorkian, I'm thinking about the wrong. What's the dude? Kanye West's woman's father. Kardashian. I mean, you know, all of them was there, and they did what they had to do to get him off, and they worked the trial right. But the guys that are doing this court case right now for Trayvon and them, they're weak.
Yeah.
They're very weak, and the defense is throwing everything they can at them to make them really look bad,
but
and it's working.
Remember, George Zimmerman has a judge for a dad, and they had a George Zimmerman fund, in which case people contributed to his defense. So the thing is, I say money doesn't buy innocence, but it buys a hell of a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and that's essentially what he got. He got a hell of a reasonable doubt. Whereas the state decided to take on, you know, Trayvon's, and they looking like they've never, you know, done a trial. Based on what I've heard, because I refuse to watch it. But you would think, you know, these people have never gone to trial.
Yeah.
Like something,
and
like
what's really going on? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
I was talking to somebody on Facebook about this earlier today, where they told me that that apparently the defense was trying to bring in the fact that, you know, Trayvon had been smoking weed, so he might have been swaying. You know, so my question was, okay, I'm lost here, because first you tell me that he was lucid enough to kick George Zimmerman's ass. Then you tell me that he was high enough to be walking, you know, suggestively, like he was high. So they're mutually exclusive. You can't walk around and stagger like you're high and then proceed to kick somebody's ass in the manner that George Zimmerman supposedly got his ass handed to him.
Well, because that's the way their mentality of us is to them. They think that we can be high all the time and can do all these things and thuggish, because that's the mentality of the white. I ain't gonna say all white people, but some white people in the suburbs, what they think of us. That's
right,
what they betray us.
Here's my problem. Why didn't the prosecution bring that up? You know what I'm saying?
Good question.
Like, and so like, I, you know, that just seems common sense to me. So like I said, it's a show put on, you know, for our benefit, to make us look like, to make it seem like, hey, we're getting justice for you guys. It just so happened that maybe he wasn't guilty.
Well, everything still shows that he was, to a point, because of him not being able to find. Okay, what they were showing was, I guess they're trying to show that Zimmerman was really scared. Zimmerman was really scared. He couldn't fight. He was taking martial arts lessons and stuff. He had an air marshal who was his best friend teach him how to shoot a gun. You know, like a police officer in Texas, but a police officer. You know, everything that they're showing is they're trying to show that this man was scared. So why was he on neighborhood watch in the first place? That's what I want to know. If he was scared to be out there and be able to face things like that, then what was he doing out there? Why was he the only one out there? You know, it's a whole lot of what ifs it is. But I hate to say it, but I really feel it's going to really shock me if Trayvon's family wins this. Only because of what I'm seeing and how they're betraying it. You know, they messed up the witness, the girl who was talking to him on the phone. They had her all jacked up, saying that she can't talk, we can't understand her. You know, she can't, was she obsessed with him? You know, they're going through all these other things that had nothing to do with the murder at all. Like, was she was following him? She wasn't his girlfriend, but was she obsessed with him? Why was she always talking to him? Blah, blah, blah. All these things they were using. And then they had his mother on today, not Trayvon's mother, but Zimmerman's mother and a couple of friends saying that they all listened to the tape and they all heard it was Zimmerman hollering. Well, I just don't understand. I mean, this is a grown man and a 17-year-old boy. I just don't understand how he didn't have, why would this young boy have that much power over him? That was smaller than him.
Yeah.
You know, and then they said, let me say one more thing and I'll let you speak. The other thing was, they said that Zimmerman was on the ground with his back to the ground and the boy was on top of him, but Zimmerman had the gun in his back in a holster. So if he had it back there, how did he was able to get up to get the gun? You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff there that just don't make sense. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. Like, there is a lot of common sense just missing out. The bottom line is, and we've all learned this, you don't carry a gun with you unless you have the intent on using it, or you don't pull it
out.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So at the end of the day, you know, no matter how you look at it, they trying to go for murder too when they should have went for manslaughter from the beginning. Bottom line, you know. But like I said, it seems like they bit off more than can chew intentionally, and now it seems that they're losing. They're just like, oh, you know, it was a stretch anyway. They want you to believe
right.
that they really tried, that they really made an attempt.
Right.
When everything just seems to me for show. You know, like the whole, like, take the Big Brother thing. You know, have you heard about that? There are three white women on the Big Brother show who, I guess the cameras are recording at all times, but they made some pretty racist statements. You know, one girl even had the audacity to say welfare is another word for nigger insurance. She said that.
What?
On camera.
But don't they know that 80% of people that's on welfare are white?
It's not 80. It's 40.
Well, what was the percentage you think? I'm just saying. It's more of them than
majority.
It is of us.
Right.
Okay, we'll say majority. We'll say that.
Right. There are more white people on the system than there are black. That is true.
Right.
But then you know what they
yes.
say? Well, 50 is something like 53% of the population in the United States is white, or you know they claim that they're white, but only 40% of welfare recipients are on welfare. But on black people, we represent 13% of the population and 28% of the people on welfare. So statistically speaking, we represent more people on welfare. Don't give me that bull. Because it's
you know
an
something.
Isolated number. The people on welfare
know.
As a percentage. You know, but then that's
yeah.
what they try to tell you to always make you seem like you're stupid or that, you know, black people are using more of the system than anybody else.
Unless you know
your facts. And they will regurgitate these statistics ad nauseum. But once you actually know the stats and once you actually have the information, they look at you like, oh, okay. And that's why I spend so much time researching so that I can defend a lot of the things that I see that people are just repeating with no factual basis. They hear what they want to hear, and then they don't want to hear the rest of the information.
Right. Absolutely. Yep, and I agree with you. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's amazing that they always want to point fingers or say something about what we're doing or what we've done or, you know, it's just crazy. But you're right. And unless we try to fix it ourselves and let people know, okay, yeah, we got a lot of people that's in trouble with the economy and stuff like that and they're on welfare or whatever the case, you know, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's something that we live to do, and that's all we want to do is be that. But you're right. I mean, and like you said, they take statistics and they take numbers and they try to put them in the favor to make themselves look what they want. You know, it's more of
right.
us that's on it, but it's less of us in the country. So, you know, I mean, yes, so it's going
right.
to look like it's more. You know, I mean,
you
know,
the numbers to say anything you want them to say. Just
exactly.
As long as
exactly.
You want them to say what you want them to say.
Right. And there's all kinds of surveys. Now, what did they base it on? And how did they, you know, come up with the idea of it? You know, was it one city? Was it several in the country? You know, I mean, you know, they always take something and, you know how it is.
The Department of Agriculture, they keep the statistics on welfare. And that's because everything is run, you know, the food program is run through, of course, the Department of Agriculture, food stamps,
right.
stuff like that. So they're the
right.
ones who keep, you know, if you go to their website, USGov, I've been there several times, so, you know, I navigate the website. You can actually see as a statistic, even the percentage of black people are unemployed. It's sitting at 16%. And as a percentage of the white people are unemployed, it's 7.5%. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No discrepancy there. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, I mean,
yeah, but
the thing
know,
is,
like, again, yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, it's just, it's really crazy.
But they'll tell you that unemployment, you know, unemployment is all our problem. Well, clearly it's more one problem than anybody else's. Because we're the one suffering double the unemployment of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's not because
right.
we lack the skill. It's simply because, hey, you know, we put these policies in place, but the policies aren't to benefit us. That, you know, they benefit everybody but us.
Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But, you know, it's crazy. And as you know, they got to make it themselves look right. And I even seen something today. They were saying they had something on Facebook, actually, saying that the president, you know, they always got to bring him in somewhere, don't they? Saying that the president needs to be looking at some type of legislature to put in place just in case this trial goes in favor of Zimmerman so that we can prevent chaos or whatever from the verdict. It's just, you know, when is it going to stop?
They need to hold. They automatically need to come with some hurry up legislation so that if anybody riots, that they'll be charged with a hate crime.
Well, no, they didn't go to that extreme, but you might as well say that. What they were saying was they need to put some in place so they can have when the stuff start happening, somebody can be out there, or they can have, you know, the militia or whatever in place to stop it from going down. In other words, you know, they try to get the president involved in something that he has no control of anyway, because the states control the National Guard. That's controlled by the governors. That's not controlled by the president. Unless he calls an executive order for war. And usually he can't even declare war. The Congress has to do that. I mean, he can go over their head and say, okay, we're going to go and do this, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't have control of the National Guard and all of that. That's the governors have to agree with that to a certain point.
Right, that's a state issue. That is not a
national issue. For them to even say that, lets me know that they really don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
they're already
anticipating what's going to happen.
Let's just look at it, though, Dini. Seriously, it looks like, I'm not saying it's going to be, so people don't take this, what I'm saying, as gospel, because it's not. But it's just looking, the way it's looking right now, the way they're stacking up the evidence, it's looking like this man has a chance to get away with what he's done. Okay? But the thing is, you know, you got all these other cases, like I said, with the woman we were talking about, the lady earlier, how she is in jail right now for the same type of thing, except it was a little different, but it's still the same law that they were using in their case. How does it work for one and not work for the other? Because, like you said, it's who you know. The man's judge, his father's a judge, and all these things are going on. Okay, and then if people say that, they're going to say, well, you know, why you got to say that, you know? I mean, it's just never going to, I don't know. I really hope that he gets some kind of time for this, you know, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Man, I never put it past, you know, people. I'm one of those people. You know, I prepare, you know, I hope for the best, but I prepare for the worst. And that's just how I am, because I've lived too long to see things go consistently wrong. You know what I'm saying? There are people who live charm life, and there are people who live doom life, you know, where everything seems to be going wrong. And I've lived, you know, and the way I see things going for, you know, for people, my people, people who look like me, people who have done, you know, who dealt with the same struggles that I've dealt with, it's not going in the right direction. And I can see it. you know, and I'm not a militant. I'm not a, you know, we need to ship everybody back to Africa and start all over. No. But I think we have such, in between us, between black people, we are so, we have such lethargy that it's just amazing. We'll get mad over something, but then we'll let it go.
Right.
And that's what upsets me. Like, take politics, for example. Republicans, they know they're never going to our votes, so they're not going to do anything for us. Democrats know
right.
they're going to get our votes, so they don't do anything for us. So essentially,
right.
we're left in the same rut that we start off with. You look
right.
look at who they're fighting over right now. They're fighting over gay votes. They're fighting over Hispanic votes. They're fighting over women votes. They damn sure ain't fighting over black votes.
No.
We have foregone conclusion. And so
right.
and so if you think about it, you know, gays have gotten legislation within the last month. You know, women's rights are on the, you know, now it's even past the economy. They're talking about, you know, birth control and abortion and women's rights. So they've already got that on the docket. When you talk about Hispanics. Right.
Well, they're doing it because they're trying to get set for the next election. And that's
the next election.
The
but what exactly are they? But we are nowhere in that conversation. Nowhere.
Because you know why? Because they try to say that we put the president in the office, but it's not enough of us to do that.
It's not that.
So,
right. The thing is, we vote for one party without, like, it's automatic. When we walk into that voting booth, we don't see who represents our best ideas. Or ideals. We see Republicans evil, Democrats good. So
right.
we've been voting for Democrats
yeah,
so
people,
long that they
lot,
that they don't do anything for us anymore.
Right.
At all.
Well, a lot of people,
they don't
right.
have to worry about not getting
like
our
that.
Vote.
You're absolutely correct. A lot of people do vote that way. But, you know, I can only speak for me. I know that I definitely look at who's doing what. And I definitely try to see what they're talking about, you know, and I try to keep party out of it, even though I have in the past voted Democratic. But the thing is nowadays you can't really go with the race because you got to look at who's, what they're talking about and what they're doing, you know. So I understand what you're saying. Everybody's so used to voting a certain way, they don't even look to see what they're doing. They just vote it because that's what
they
do.
They just vote. They vote for the same
you know,
people. They don't even look. You know, the new guy may be saying, look, this person is corrupt. This person is evil. This person has a mistress in Brazil. And they say, oh,
right.
did I vote for that person last time? Okay, I'm going to keep voting for that person.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
Uh-oh.
And just to let everybody know, this is World Sexy Radio. I know we're going a little political. And we're doing little things tonight. But it's cool. We're supposed to have some guests on the show. I'm trying to remember who they were. I had it written down. But, you know, if they don't come, then me and DV know how to do this. I don't know, we'll talk for 2 hours, but we know how to get through it. But we'd like for you, if anybody wants to call, the chat room is available as well. If you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word 6 Radio. We'd like to get your opinion. If you want to talk more about the Trayvon Martin case or anything that you feel like speaking on tonight, we can do that. I'm still trying to contact our guest that was scheduled to see if they still want to come on the show. If they don't, then we'll just leave it at that. But, and I think Cotton's still traveling. I'm not sure what's up with her. But anyway, I got DV hit on the line, and we're talking, and we're finding out what's going on. What's in our minds? We're doing tonight. What's on our minds? So, all right. So, yeah, what you're saying makes a whole lot of sense. That's why I like talking to you because, you know, you're a brother that has a lot of intellect and a brother that takes a lot of time to check out things. And not only are you an author, you know, you just take, you take things, you look at it and see what it's really about. And what it is what it is with you. That's what I like. That's why I like talking with you and having you on the show and you being part of the show because, you know, we need that. You know, we need more people to be able to do that instead of just doing the norm or whatever they think. Like you said, we're talking about voting. People just vote sometimes just to vote a certain way just because they black. We're supposed to be Democrat. Well, you know, it didn't always start like that. Back in the day, it was Republicans that actually got us out of where we are. I mean, we know that it reversed over the years and switched up. But still, are you really looking at, and you brought up a good point, are you really looking at the candidate? Or are you just voting because your grandmother voted a certain way? Or because, you know, when somebody else is voting, so you're just going to automatically do it. Tell us about it. Call in.
But you know what? What I've seen, Red, is that like nobody pays attention to local elections as much as they should. They pay attention to the national scene. Because remember, actually, I remember when Mitt Romney was in the lead in like late October, you know, like mid late October. And then, remember, I can't remember what the congressman, what state he represents, but he basically talked about women abort, you know, women who get raped automatically self-abort.
Remember that? That man was from this great state of Missouri. Right here. I can't even think of his damn name right now. But he was from here, and his ass got fucked up. Actually, he was running against Claire McCaskill, Senator Claire McCaskill, and he ended up losing, which I'm glad he said all that shit, because he was running at one point. She was about
Exactly.
Until he started talking all that crap. Yeah.
That craziness. But remember, it didn't affect only him. It affected all Republicans. Everywhere.
Right.
They had to distance themselves.
Even Mitt Romney told him to step down.
He's like, man, get out the damn race.
Step
He's like,
down
nope.
Because you're making us look bad. You're making us look bad. And he said, no, I'm not going to step down.
Remember this. At the same time, Joe Biden said, remember when Joe Biden was talking to some of the black leaders. And when they were talking about the banks, he was talking about them being in chains. He was like, you let the banks back in power, they put you in chains. Y'all know what it's like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that didn't affect all Democrats. That just affected Joe Biden. But Joe Biden wasn't going for election, so everybody's like, eh. But the thing is, I'm going to tell you, if a Republican would have told a bunch of black people that banks are trying to put them back in chains, it would have been an outcry.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I laugh at. I was like, look, you know, I understand you may not like Republicans. So put it on, you know, if you want to do that nationally, that's fine. But actually listen to what the guys locally are saying. And if they don't follow through with the things that they say they're going to do, their record is going to show that.
But
you know,
since you brought it up, let me say this. If they would have did what they were supposed to do, I mean, it was important to bring President Obama into office, but the real election was 2 years after that we fucked up on, and we didn't go and vote like we should have in numbers, because that was the election that brought in the Senate that we have now and the Congress and everybody. If they would have put the emphasis on that more, I mean, we wanted to get the president in, but they should have stopped. Everybody got complacent, like, oh, we got him in now, we good to go. They should have kept going and really did it, because if we would have did what we were supposed to do then, a lot of these people wouldn't be in the power they're in right now, and he would have a Congress that would probably be voting more toward his favor. Okay?
But
we didn't do that.
I disagree. Because of the legislation that he put through, Republicans were adamant about getting at least, because, man, what was that?
That's something on my phone. Actually, my computer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. But if you recall, a lot of legislation that he basically forced through, including the Affordable Health Care Act, that Republicans couldn't stand. They were motivated. And it wouldn't have mattered if a bunch of, you know, people went to the midterms. It wouldn't have mattered. Because at that point, Republicans had made up their mind that the president was so far left that he would never even see and listen to any of their proposals. So basically that what they did was they told their constituents, you want to change this Congress, which is overwhelmingly Democrat? Because remember, the Democrats had the House, and they had the Senate, and they had the presidency. So there was nothing Republicans could essentially do to block anything. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care. I think there still needs to be a balance. And I think the only way that you are going to compromise is to have somebody to compromise with. If it's like this, if me and you always agree on everything, then we're not growing. We're not learning, and we just agree.
And what's the use of talking? What's the use of talking?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, but there needs to be a contrast. There needs to be an opposing point of view and a prevalent point of view so that there's a happy medium. Don't get me wrong. Politics has gotten way out of control.
Absolutely. And just for the record, everybody knows that me and DB never get alone all the time. So We talk shit to each other, and like that's a few minutes ago, we did not get along. But you know, I mean, and I, you know, what he's saying makes sense, but still, to a point, I don't know if I agree with that all of it. But I'll say part of it, partially. But anyway, he's right to a point. But I still think that I'm not saying. And let me say this. Let me go on record. I'm not going to say that if they would, if everybody would have run and voted like they're supposed to, and we'd have got more Democrats in, that we would have been okay. Because you got a lot of them motherfuckers that's fucked up too. They just want a job. They're going to vote the way their people in their town wants them, or their state is trying to get them if they want to stay in their job. So you can put somebody in, that doesn't mean they're going to do what you want. You know, so, you know, it just depends. But you're right. What he's saying is correct. I have to say I agree. You know, but, you know, now the president's lame duck, and, you know, you got all this stuff, and now they got shit out there talking about Hillary might run now again and all this. And, you know, it's just a whole bunch of stuff, you know. They want to get the first woman in now since they got the first brother.
Right.
You know, and so now, you know, that's the next step. Who do you think will be eligible to be the president? We'll have to see. Will it be a Republican automatically or what? We don't know.
No. And I'm going to tell you why, because they're already pointing fingers, like right now in the great state of Texas, Rick Perry is trying to push through this abortion issue. There are some points I agree on, some points I completely disagree. You know, I was telling somebody today, they was like, well, are you pro-life or pro-choice? I said pro-choice. And I said not because of the dynamics of everything. The reason is you can't say I live in a country where I'm free to make choices and then they tell you, well, you can't do this. Well, that's not freedom. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As long as it's not, you know, illegal, immoral, or, you know, just evil, then I think you should at least have the right to be able to do these things. If somebody wanna smoke weed, you know, and it's not, you know, and it's not affecting their family or you know what I'm saying, they're not, you know, it hasn't, by all means, you know, they need to smoke. If they want to do that, go ahead. If a man loves another man and he wants to spend his life with him, then so be it. You know, I still think, and I'm glad they struck down that part of DOMA that says, look, if they're with each other, they're entitled to federal benefits. I think it's wrong not to be able to leave your legacy to the surviving person that you've been with the last 10, 15, 20, X amount of years.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you because I feel like, you know, I mean, you're not harming me because you're with somebody of the same sex, okay? I don't agree that I want to marry somebody of the same sex, no.
Yeah, you mean
the thing is this. But the thing is if you already in it, the relationship, you're already doing those things, and you're there, and it's recognized everything else, you know, why not have the benefit that comes with it? You're a couple, whether we want to like it or not, whether it's in God's eyes we feel it's right or not. The thing is, you know, I mean, and I agree. I mean, if you've been with this person all this time and you die and they can't get your stuff because it's illegal, you know, this is not correct. I really think that it's, you know, they did the right thing by going on letting it happen because people are going to do it anyway. So now, you know, even with the military, a lot of people was tripping because, you know, they were saying, oh, I'm being in a foxhole with somebody that's gay. Like, motherfuckers don't just want to be with you to the
because
you're
like,
in a foxhole.
Yeah, like, oh, girl, a firefighting. Like, man, I've been looking at your booty all the time.
Come on, really? I mean, I don't agree with same-sex stuff to a point because, you know, I like two women and all that shit. But, you know, I know I'm wrong. I'm just like all the rest of the niggas out there that's wrong in that aspect. You know, but I just look at it like this. You know, be with who you want to be with. You know, and as long as you ain't bothering me and hurting what I'm doing, it's not a problem. You know, you're not hurting nobody, harming nobody by doing it. Do it. So, you know, I mean, it's just crazy.
With that being said, and, you know, me and my gay girlfriend go at this all the time. And I tell her this. I say, look.
Is that the same girl you were talking about before?
No. No, I didn't. Like, you know how I mean? Like, man, I got.
No,
the
New Year's Eve show.
No. That party started somewhere now. But, no, but, like, this is my thing. Am I pro gay marriage? No, and I'll tell you why. The only reason, because, and how do I explain it? throughout the history of man, no civilization has basically said, yeah, it's cool for, you know, a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. You know, now what they did allow you to do is have, you know, concubines or like little side boys. You know, if you had gay tendencies, they allowed you to have a little boy or, you know, young man that you could have sex with. So for the first time in history, we are allowing, but there is a movement that men, you know, men who love men and women who love women should be married. But through all of that, they choose to call it the exact same thing that gives, you know, headaches to everybody else. You've invented an entirely new species of marriage, and you want to call it exactly what, you know, what everybody else calls it,
marriage,
rather than naming it something entirely new that's indicative and representative of you and who you are. You want to attach it to this, like, as much as we talk about marriage and the headaches, don't get me wrong, there are some great things, you know, about marriage. But if that's just like, you know, me, DV, and I find a whole new species of animal, and I name it cow, and then somebody says, we already have cow, I didn't feel like changing the name, so it looks like cow. So, I mean, and that's what it's like to me. You have been something entirely new that you can call whatever you choose to call, and you name it the exact same thing that gives everybody else headaches.
So what would you call it?
But see, I couldn't name it. I'm on the outside looking in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How, you know, that to me, if it's something entirely new, huh?
Would you call it cupcake or some shit? Like you know,
no, I wouldn't call it cupcake. Like that. Like, we're going to get cupcake tonight in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't call
it.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah.
But my thing is, it's just the word choice. It's not that I disagree with, you know, you being with somebody for the rest of your life. It's just semantics. If there's something entirely new that has never really existed in the history of man, why would you name it something that has existed since the beginning of time?
Well, it's been going on. It just hasn't been legal. You know, it's been forever. It just hasn't been legal.
Right.
And now
my point is,
make it legal. But see, I know what you're saying. Why call it marriage? I guess they figure same-sex marriage is a different title. But it's not. Say union or some kind of new union, gay union or something, I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy, but I understand what you're saying. My thing is I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to go against it because they have a right just like we do. You know, I'm not saying, I know we can sit here and talk all night about people being born with certain, and we talked about that on the show before, about people being born with so many genes and they must be born with this, and you know, it's something that's not learned or it is learned. You know, we got our own opinions of what we think that is, but the thing is, as long as you're not trying to force it on me, and I'm telling you, you are when you try to do the gay marriage thing, but in a way you're not because you're not, it's not like I got to see, I don't know, are they forcing it on us? That's a good question.
Well,
and then say it like you said, give it another name. Yeah, go ahead.
But the thing is if we give it another name, if as heterosexual males or heterosexual females, if we give it another name, all of a sudden becomes Jim Crow all over again. You know, you're saying we're equal, but it's not the same thing. And so therefore, you name it. And therefore, you know, you call it exactly what you want it to be. You know, and because marriage has traditionally been, you know, between man and a woman. You can't even say, it's not even called a marriage if a man is married to two women. The second woman is the concubine or the mistress. You can't be married to two women. So even if there's a paper that says you're married, you can't be, you know what I'm saying?
It's called bigamy.
Right. But that's
it's
the thing.
It's called bigamy, yeah.
They call it something completely different. You know, you're married to two women? Oh, that's perfectly fine. We'll call that marriage as well.
I mean, it's bigamy, and it's called illegal. And it's called, if you go to jail, if you get caught.
Well, there are certain places in the United States. There are certain places in the United States where they allow bigamy. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
As far as
like,
religious practice. Well, yeah. But you know, they have whole cities. They have whole cities dedicated to bigamous colonies where, you know, like I was watching a show maybe a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm. Where the hell is that at?
But wait, one man married to three women has 21 people in his house. So I guess that means there are 17 kids. All of them here. All right? Each of his wives, each of his wives is a little younger than the other. The first one is like 43, the next one is like 39, the one after that is like 31.
Right.
But he has 17 kids between those three women. And in their city, and I'm talking a city here, I'm not talking like little farm, in their city of people, they arrange marriages.
Right.
They have what they call spiritual leaders, religious leaders, that prearrange weddings, that prearrange marriages, and dating is frowned upon. If they catch you dating, that's not a good thing. They may kick you out of the city.
Wow.
So I mean, it's just, you know, they are just that fundamentally sound. Those are their fundamental beliefs. And I didn't even know places like that.
You said they have states that actually have cities that have bigamous laws that allow it.
These are like townships, you know, with you know 2,000-5,000 people in them.
Wow. Interesting. I thought it was illegal all over the United States. I didn't know that they had some areas, except for the hills, that nobody wants to go in and shit with the hillbillies and all that. I mean, I thought that, you know, because they're marrying cousins and all that. Well, that's not bigamy. That's incest. But anyway, I didn't know they had cities like that around here that existed. That actually in the 48 states that they allowed that.
Interesting. And in fact, like a couple of the people around the area, whenever they said the town name, you know, the other cities around the area knew what it was. You know what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
They were like,
yeah.
Oh, you're from there, you know. So my thing is at some point, don't get me wrong, do you know, the idea of, you know, a man and another man going at it is not appealing. But if it makes them happy,
and they don't like that. Right, yeah.
Yeah, the idea of two women going at it, you know, is appealing. But it's even more appealing if they like guys. It's less appealing if they don't. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'll be that guy.
And it's true. But the thing is, and I know we're making it one-sided, but I've asked women the same question. I'm not just saying it just to be saying something. I've asked women, a lot of them don't want to see two guys. You know, there's a few, but not a lot. But most of them will be happy to see two women, even though they may not want to get into the act of it, but they think that's more sexier.
Yeah, like,
it's amazing.
One of my friends, one of my gay friends, is a dude named Mo. Like, he's like the thought of a man and a woman going at it, you know, makes his stomach turn. So I was like, then we're in the same boat. You know, but the thing is, we know what arouses us. You know, there's no mistaking about that one.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you have to, life is hard enough. You know what I'm saying? It's hard enough. So you at least deserve to be happy with the person you're with.
Right.
You know, and if that person just happens to be of the same sex, then more power to you. Look, we all sin. We all do something wrong every day. We all doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing. You know, and I don't care how sanctified or holy you think you are, you doing something wrong. You breaking a law somewhere, somehow, you know, lusting, whatever. You know what I'm saying? This is who we are. But, you know, and I've never been the type to say, well, you know, as long as we all sin and you can't say nothing. No, but let them have their sins. You know, you know, there are other things going on that need to be dealt with, more things that are more major. If they're gambling with their eternal soul, then so be it. they will meet with their God at the appropriate time, and they will answer those questions. So let them at least be happy while they're on earth.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it. You're right, and I agree with you totally on that. People should, you know, we need to stop judging so much and worry about ourselves. A lot of times, I mean, and BB, I got to do this. I'm going to change something a little bit. The thing that I have to bring up real quick, because I think Vonda's going to be calling, and she just let me know that she forgot. She said, oh, no. Anyway, my thing is this. This thing with this Facebook, this social media is really getting overdone.
You said Facebook,
you know,
what?
You know, with Facebook and social media. I mean, people are really, really getting crazy, okay? They're getting real silly with all of it. I mean, poking and all this bullshit. I mean, if you poke somebody, I had somebody come to me, and I'm gonna let the guests in a few minutes. But my thing is this. I poked somebody. I let them know. I didn't even poke them. I just said, I thought she was nice. I wasn't even trying to get with her. And I said, you look beautiful. Not even 30 minutes later, her husband comes back on, or whoever, talking about he didn't appreciate me, telling his wife or her girlfriend or whoever she was beautiful. Then she comes back about 20 minutes later and says that I've disrespected her and him because I said she was beautiful. Why are you putting the picture out there, and why are you a friend of on my page or whatever, and you don't know me, and I say you're beautiful? I'm not trying to get with you. I just was letting you know that you're beautiful. That I thought the picture was pretty. They take this stuff too far. Poking, okay, means fucking. No, it doesn't. I mean, it just blows my mind.
Put it this way. If poking meant fucking, then I would have been laid so many times it's not funny. You know, there are people right now that I'm having a poke war with. And it's been going on maybe since, like, last year.
Right.
And that's how determined we are to not lose the poke war. But that don't mean
absolutely.
I'm poking you in real life. These are, you know, people
I know that.
Right. Now, the thing is I am not an aggressor. Especially on, you will very rarely catch me on Facebook, and the reason being is because it's more headache than it's worth. People talk about the most trivial things, the most inconsequential things. I like talking about things of substance. I do.
Right.
And I'm not going to be on Facebook talking about the most, you know, the silliest things that don't affect, you know, the things that I do from day to day. Now, if we want to, you want to talk about politics, you want to talk about relationships, hell, you want to talk about sport, you know, the occasional athlete who does something stupid or who did something great, I'm all for it. But when you get to talking about this hater, that hater, and, you know, the next uplifting message, God knows how many uplifting messages I have to listen to day after day via Facebook. You know, I understand it means something to you. Yeah, and that's fine. But, I mean, mix it up a little. I mean, geez. As far as poking, man, like, I just leave all that alone. Unless somebody pokes me first, you know, I don't do it because it always gets you in trouble. People
well,
take
I learned that.
It's like, it's just like this, Red. Like, there was a friend of mine who, you know, she didn't post for a while. So I basically unfriended her because I'm like, well, you know, she doesn't really post. I don't even know if she's still on Facebook. So a week later, I get cussed out because I unfriended her. I was like, look, man, I ain't unfriend you in real life. It's not that serious.
Right.
You know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? It's like if you unfriend somebody on Facebook, that is like the ultimate insult. Like, for, it's not that really. I can understand if I cussed you out on the phone, say I don't ever want to be your friend. I was like, but the simple fact of the matter is, it's online. It's not real. It's not that damn serious, which is why I always, on my page, if you notice, I always put up some crazy-ass picture and some crazy-ass, wall post, picture.
I check
it
out. Right.
And that's why I do it, because I'm like, I do it because it's not that serious and I want to have fun with it.
Right, absolutely.
So,
well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and bring in our guest, and she's on the line right now. This is Vonda Howard. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's everybody doing?
Well, we're glad that you were able to be
time tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Say it again.
I was trying to be nice, and we're going to come back with that, but that's okay. It's all good. But anyway, we're glad to have you. We figured you just had a great time on 4th of July and you just got so drunk that you forgot. We don't know. We just figured it out. You know, it's just one of those things.
I am so absolutely sorry. Please, though, that does not happen with me. I am normally much more organized.
Well, you know, I know I had to apologize to you for last week because I had to take care of a medical issue. And I'm fine and everything, and I thank you all for your prayers and everything. But, you know, we're here now, and I'm sorry. You were ready last week. You were really, really ready, and we had you. And I think I got you off your A game for a second because, you know, I had you wait another week. But here we are.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Glad to be here.
So tell everybody about you. Let's get this going. We're going to start with you by letting everybody know who you are and what you've been doing.
Well, I am, first off, I'm Vonda Howard. I am an author, of course, and also the editor and co-owner of Black Lives Magazine. I don't know if everybody's heard of Black Lives Magazine, but visit blacklivesmagazine.com, shameless plug.
Okay.
But I am also the author of the D Cup Diva series, which is a series that I created about 3 years ago that features only curvy plus size characters.
And that's the reason why we wanted you on this show, so we can talk about those D cups. We want to talk about D cups this evening because we were talking all kinds of shit this evening, and I'm sorry, this is word sexy, so we say what the fuck we want to. I hope that doesn't offend you, but that's what we do.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay, good. So here we are. So D cup divas, tell us more about that.
D Cup Divas, I created D Cup Divas because I kind of, well, and I've noticed that in other books that curvy plus size sisters are not represented, or they're not represented well. You know, we're either the ones with the low self-esteem or the ones that you know, we might have a bunch of babies running around, like that whole Precious thing. You know what I mean? It's like all the skinny chicks with the light, long hair and light eyes get the
attention.
And so yeah,
we saw dark skin last week. Dark women. I thought that was a great show. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, I wanted to create a series of books that featured plus size girls that had it going on. They are confident. They have good jobs. They have awesome sex lives. You know, all the things that I know, me and my friends, I know how we are.
Well, you know,
plus-size
women,
so like, you know, none of my friends, you know, my friends are like plus-size models and nurses and doctors and, you know, things like that. So none of those things represented the plus-size girls I know. Like, for me, I'm a size 18. I bounce around between 16 and 18, and I don't have no problem.
So you're
going
there.
You're
coming through, huh?
Just
like
that,
huh?
Turn that phone.
It is like that.
That red phone. She got the Jetson thing.
Yeah, that's my phone.
With the Jetson doorbell.
Yeah, there you go. But, go ahead. I want you to finish because I'm interested in this D cup thing because the D cup divas, right. They don't get their respect and honor and. You know, because those are the women really that have all the money. It's ain't all the skinny, light-skinned women. We want some chocolate women, you know, some thick women. You know, we like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that you're focusing on that because I know Carl Weber does his thing with the big women as well, who's a fair brother of mine. But you know, he's taking it a step further. So tell us a little about that.
I tell them that the series is pretty much the Sex and the City for girls with actual hips.
Definitely. With actual hips, did you hear that?
Yes, with actual hips. And I wanted to, especially in my sex scenes, you know, I have them doing things that normally is only put aside for other books where the chicks are real, you know, skinny. And I'm not dogging out the skinny chicks. I got plenty of skinny chick friends. That's fine. You know, all y'all are beautiful. Every woman is beautiful. So before anybody say, why is she dogging out skinny girls? I'm not. I definitely am.
We're definitely not taking it that way. We want you to
But I don't want people to think that when I say that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I just wanted to represent girls that, you know, that have some hips and all that stuff, hips and thighs and everything else going on, that we're represented correctly. And so I wanted to, when I took it further, I wanted to make sure my girls had had positive, had confident attitudes, and they go through all the same things that, you know, normal friends go through, like regular things in life. And also in my book, I don't talk about their size every 5 minutes.
Right.
In the book, and in some books, I found that every other sentence.
Part.
Yeah, and every other sentence. In some books, the girls talk about, oh, their size, or I'm a big girl, or this and that, or every 5 minutes.
Right.
No, because I don't walk
that.
Around every other sentence. I say, oh, but I'm a size 18. Oh, I'm going to McDonald's in a minute, but I'm a size 18. Oh, I'm going to buy me some new mascara, but I'm a size 18. I don't, you know, it's...
Yeah, but then, you know what upsets me about stuff like that when I'm reading
right.
it? The name of the book would be like Big Titty Bitches. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's already a bad title.
You're right about that. Big Titty Bitches are next to our holes or something. You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
You're right. So... But what I want to know is, and what I really want to hear is the part that you keyed on to me was the sex scenes. Okay, you said they're doing what the little women do, whatever that is, because, shit, I mean, women fuck, right? I mean, they do what they like, so is there a certain
right.
size that you can do certain things or what? Tell me, because I need to know.
Right.
So you're going to
do
the scene,
right.
you're going to tell us a little about the sex scenes, what did you put in that we need to, you know, I mean, we're going to read the book. And those,
mm-hmm.
we're going to let people know what the books are so that they can be able to get them. But what did you put in the extra spice in, you know, to let us know, you know, that big girls can do more than others? Or how did you do that?
Well, not more than others, you know, because I think all that depends on the person, on the woman, of course.
There
you
go.
Every woman is different. Not every woman, no matter what her size, you're going to find boring skinny chicks, you're going to find boring curvy girls.
Yes.
You know, that's going to happen. But in my book, so, you know, one of the favorite scenes was in book one, Chandra, was in her book, in the nightclub. And if anybody out there that's read the book, they know it's like, oh, yeah, like the nightclub, because it was kind of like an S&M, 50 Shades of Grey type of thing going on. You know,
okay.
where, you know, there was some slapping going on and some fingering and all types of crap going on. So it's like, I don't have any problem writing heavy scenes like that.
So she was in the
and
club
those kind
and
of
she
book.
Was getting
yeah.
fingered and getting slapped and all this shit while she was in the club. Okay.
Understood. Yeah, well, they were in the VIP room.
But why did he say it's great? Why not Red Snapperish? You know what I mean? Why not Red Snapperish? I mean, I write shit that's S&M and all of that, and no, I'm just joking. I'm just, but I do. But anyway, I know everybody uses 50 Shades of Grey as a base. Which I'm just saying, everybody uses 50 Shades of Grey now as a base because it's so, I guess because of the popularity of it, they think that's S&M. So
right.
I'm just
trying
to find out.
It's really not. It's really not. And actually, in the third book, I'm kind of going more in this character, Lenora, in the third book, is I'm going to try to go more into the more S&M-ish. Like authentic S&M-ish, like submissive slave relationship,
right?
Really
type of thing. So it's like a lot of people think that 50 Shades of Grey is the they're using it as a standard for S&M, and it's truly not.
Oh, so why are they using that as a
standard?
There's been several books out there. I guess because, like I said, it's the popular book now or lately. But the thing is, I mean, there's been other works out there that has great sexual S&M scenes that can be
right.
used as a buffer. But I guess because everybody's picked up the city shade and putting everybody else's shit down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad at her. I'm just saying, you know, because they're going to make a movie and all this out of it. But anyway, the thing
yeah.
is, city shade was more of a love story. But, you know, it was some submissive stuff going on. But
yeah.
Anyway, we'll just get off that. Let's get back into you.
No, we can say
Let's
that.
Get back into you. No. Because 50 Shades, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm an erotic fiction author.
Mm-hmm.
DV is an erotic fiction author as well. We write all kinds of genres, but we spend a lot of our time writing a lot of sexual stuff. And I have done some things in some of my books where, you know, there's scenes that I've had with masquerade balls and big orgies and all this S&M type stuff going on as well. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess because, like I said, 50 Shades was something that was written that was put out there and it's got great exposure. So So now everyone uses that as a buffer or a guide or a gauge on how S&M is supposed to be. But
right.
Remember, this is a love story as well. So it was more love than anything.
Right.
But remember, there are a lot of books that become the de facto books. Like, take video Confession of a Video Vixen. All of a sudden, you know,
mm-hmm.
All video hoes, quote unquote hoes, are like that. You know, or, you know, on the down low, that all those undercover brothers are like that.
J.O. King.
You know, so
King,
they've essentially, you become, the voice piece or the speaking piece for that whole, whatever their specialization is.
Right.
So
right.
That's what, now, 50 Shades has become to, quote, quotations, S&M. Even though we all of us on this phone right now know that
mm-hmm.
that's not what real S&M is. That's
right.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yes. It was acceptable, I guess, something that was acceptable, and
mm-hmm.
because it got so much exposure and it came from England and everybody was all into it, that's the big thing now. Everybody was just, I just got to read this book. So that's the thing. They've taken that and they're using that as a gauge because everybody, what else do they have? I mean, even though there's other things out there, what else can they use as popular right now? So I have to give her props on that. But anyway, back to what you're saying. Now, are you going to make it like that or are you doing it in such a way that it's going to be more than that?
I want to do more. It's like I try each book. Like when I read each book myself, I actually can see my progression as a writer. And I think that when you write, you should be able to see that.
Right.
I think that's a good thing that you see your progression as a writer, and each book you write should be better than the last. I do too.
Yes,
that. So I do want to, in this book, since Lenora is kind of like the Samantha of the group, I kind of want her to be.
Why am I the only one laughing?
Samantha?
Yeah, so you must have been a Sex and the City watcher.
No, I've seen the movie.
We got you. We got you. It's okay.
Yeah, Samantha.
Hey, you know what? I liked her when she was in Jewel of the Nile, all right? Let's leave it at that.
Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go there. Yeah,
Samantha is the more sexual one
of the group.
That's the one that was in Porky's, right? That played have you ever seen the movie Porky's? This was back in the 80s.
How long
those...
it's been since I've seen
Porky's.
It's
been so long since I've seen Porky's.
The only thing
like
I remember about that movie is the dude who put his dick in the wall. And then the gym teacher, what's her name, he grabbed it and yanked on it.
Right,
yeah.
Neat. Okay, but see, the part that you forgot was Samantha, when she played the cheerleader who was fucking neat in the damn movie, and she was making all these loud noises, and everybody was tripping because of how she was hollering in such a manner. That's what I remember about that movie the most in Porky's. That was a great movie. It was a great movie. But anyway, that's where she kind of started off. And that's trivia, for that show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck about
Porky's
it anyway. But interesting. You use Sex and the City as a example as well as. And why that? Why is it four women or five women that come together and do certain things, or is it kind of that in that aspect of it?
Yeah, because I guess since it's four friends and it's like to help people identify with what I'm kind of doing here, I kind of use that. And people are like, oh, okay, when I'm talking to women, they're like, oh, okay, they kind of get that part of it. Yeah,
okay.
When I say the Sex and the City part, but that seems to work with women. But I've had a lot of male readers.
I've had
when I'm out selling the books and doing book signings. The first time I did a book signing, it probably helped that I had all of my cover models there with me. And all of us standing there. Literally, we shut down the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You heard me? When you got like five statuesque, curvy, fluffy women standing up there, so it kind of, but ever since then, I do get male readers, and male readers, they love it too.
Who are you in the book?
Who am I?
You get that question. Question all the time. People think that the author, and we know that most of the characters we create, we're in there all over, but the question mm-hmm. that you always get is, who are you in the book?
Who am I in the
you
book?
You were a character in the book, yes.
I think if I had to pick one character, I think I am probably more of Rosalind, which is Chandra's baby sister, only because of temperament and the way Rosalind thinks. Rosalind is more of the mellow thinker in the group. She kind of is the one that thinks more clearly of the group, but she still has her way. She still has her freaky ways. She still can hang with them and float with them, but she's more of the mellow one, you know, because Chandra is the one who's a professional and she's kind of tight. Lenora is on the wild side. Lenora will do, say anything. And Samantha is more of the homebody, the suburban wife, housewife, and things like that. And Rosalind is the one who's kind of more balanced. So I would say definitely Rosalind. Now, there are pieces of me in all of them still, but I think I connect more with Rosalind.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. And what is the name of the book? You said the series is D-Cup Divas. Right now, how many books are there in the series that's out right now that can be purchased?
Right now, there are two out. The third one comes out in October, and then the fourth one is probably going to be, I'm aiming for early 2014, like January, February, in there somewhere. Because I'm actually kind of late. Whenever I'm out, people, kind of yell at me. What are you doing? Why did it take you so long? Because I got into working for BLM, and BLM, Blacklist Magazine, skyrocketed and flew off. And so I kind of fell into doing that. And then at the time, I was with my publisher, Alexander Books, and I got to working with them and helping other authors, And so it kind of, threw me off course a little bit. So now that I'm back doing self-publishing and I have a handle on BLM, I'm getting back to my readers because I want them to stop yelling at me.
The thing is you want them to want and crave, so that's what you want them to do. You want them to crave, you don't want to put books out so fast that, absolutely, you don't want to put them out so quick that they just like, well, damn, she's shitting them out. You want them to crave for you and want that, and that way you'll get a better result of what's going on. But anybody who's out there listening, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. We say what the fuck we want to. And right now we have Miss Vonda Howard, who is a author and a publisher, and she is doing great things in the. And you're in Virginia, right? In the Virginia area.
I'm in DC now. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, Northern Virginia, D.C., 202, area code, that's where she is right now. So if anybody got any questions, I see some numbers. I don't know if I want to highlight them or not, because usually when I do that, sometimes people hang up. Well, I'm asking you, if I click on your number and I say it, please don't hang up. Just stay on the phone if you don't have a question. But we're going to go and see if there's some questions out there. Right now, I'm going to start with this unlisted number. I'm going to see if they have a question. State your name and where you're calling from. And if I don't hear anything, that means you don't have a question. All right. Well, we're going to try. There's a couple of 816 numbers here from the Missouri area here. We're going to see if they have anything. We're going to start with this one here. It's a 377 number. State your name and where you're calling from. All right. I don't like to scare people, so I'm gonna stop doing that for right now, because sometimes when I do that, people get a little scared. Maybe they don't want to say anything, and they might hang up. But please don't. If you have a question later, and you can always go to the chat room as well. The chat room is available, and you can go there if you got questions there, if you don't want to speak on the air. But we're going to get back to you right now, so we're going to talk more. So what is the projects? You say you have a third book that's coming out there. What's going on with the magazine? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, BLM was actually thought up between me and my partner, Torian Ferguson. He's also a best-selling author, but we thought BLM was brought about to give a voice to the people that don't normally have them. And a lot of times African-American authors can be overlooked, especially in such a big, the literary pool is massive. It's absolutely massive, and so a lot of times African-American authors can be overlooked and pushed aside, especially when you get bigger authors that are doing bigger things, and we wanted to definitely get the new authors, aspiring authors, and kind of give a platform for those types of things. So I try to focus on, I have done celebrity interviews with celebrity authors like Tyrese, and I've done some of the people from Love and Hip Hop. I just did quite a few people actually. But I would definitely wanted to have a place where people can come, where they can get, you know, writing tips and also commentaries, editorials, and things like that, because honestly, there wasn't anything like it in the marketplace. And there kind of still
So what does BLM stand for, so people know what you're talking about?
Black Literature Magazine.
There you go.
Black Literature Magazine, and the website is www.blackliteraturemagazine.com.
So our next question to you is, why haven't we been featured in your magazine?
can come be featured anytime you like. Anytime you like.
Because
it's like, honestly, it's just me. Right now, it's just me and like three other writers, and it's a lot of work. We all love it. I have the most fantastic writers in the world.
Do you have an erotic section that can take some? Do you have an erotic section that can take the type of writing that I do? Because I don't hold anything back.
Yes.
I say it all, and it's done. So would you print?
Yes.
Because
actually, we have a section.
We're
trying to get a section where we put up short stories.
So if he stuck his dick in her ass as written, would that be in the book?
Oh, that's what you call hardcore?
That's the way I do.
Okay, that's cool.
The magazine will print that. Okay, I just want to make sure the magazine will print what I write, because I'm not watering nothing down from no one.
I promote editorial freedom. I mean, you know, like, it has to be edited, and that's, you know, but I'm down for editorial freedom.
I would hope that you, after I edit it or have it edited, that you would edit it again. But the words need to be what's been said.
No, I mean, I thought you were going to talk about, you know, like water sports or something like that. I thought you were about to say something like that.
Oh, well, we can do something with water
sports.
But just
anal sex, that's all you got?
I haven't about any fucking thing. Oh, we got more than anal sex. I'm just saying, I'm just giving an example. If I say something like that, will it be published, is what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. And not anal sex itself, but, I mean, because we do all kinds of shit. You know, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do. You know,
the biggest is moaning.
DV is moaning. That's DV moaning. He's doing this shit. He's moaning.
I'm just like,
he's trying to make
money.
I'm like, what y'all got going on? What y'all doing?
First of all, that's what I was going to say, Vonda. We are not in the same state. We are here on virtual. Studio. That's what we're doing. So just
okay.
So everybody know, if the moaning is not because I'm causing it, maybe somebody's there, he's looking down at, and they're looking up, and they're sticking
in
his mouth.
This conversation is making me frown in the worst way.
I don't know.
Really.
I just want you to understand that it's not me. I don't do that.
Okay. I got you.
So,
I got you.
Okay, so, yeah, that's what's up. But, yeah, I just wanted to know, if I was to write something, if I'm asked to write for your magazine, this would be an honor. You know, I want to be able to write the way I do, and if I put that kind of thing in there, would it go that way, or do I have to water it down, is all I was asking. And you haven't answered that question for me.
No.
Okay, good. So is this magazine actually published in paper form, or is it a virtual magazine, or how is it formed?
Right now it's all virtual. I'm not sure if I want to go paper because honestly, even like the big magazines like Cosmo and things like that,
they are coming to electronic. Right.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct.
That wouldn't be. It would just be a huge waste of a whole lot of money.
You know, I would love to do something like that too. So let me ask you, even though you're doing it and you're doing it virtually, I'm sure you get a lot of sponsorship to help fund you. Does that work out pretty well in putting in like ads and stuff like that in your books? Or your magazines?
It does. It takes a while for you to build up credit or build up reputation with some of the big people. It's like, you know, now at this point now I've built up enough to where I have the quote unquote majors come to me now when their new book's coming out. You know, they're coming to me, hey Vonda, we have this author coming out, we want to send it for review, blah blah. So it takes a while to build up a reputation with them, you know, because they're just not going to take, you know, when you call them, they're like, who are you?
It does
start to pay off. It's a slow process. I would tell anyone who's trying to do it, it takes time. It's a slow process.
more information, because I would like to put, like, you know, I have a new book that's coming out in November. You know, maybe we can work something where I can have an ad or something.
Yeah, we can do, like, a giveaway, winter party.
Right, or we can even have something where, you know, maybe an excerpt or something like that of the book can be published, you know, just to get their eye, and then maybe, you know, take it from there. If you want to read more, you have to get the book or whatever. Or, you know, there are lots of ways you can do stuff. You can even put out a chapter at a time or something, or a paragraph or something, some different thing. I'm just giving it some idea. I've seen some authors do that where they had people actually, they had their writers, readers, tell them what they think should happen next in the book, and then, of course, they are guessing. They don't know what the...
Actually, we started doing a kind of like a virtual soap opera called Love and Obsession.
Interesting.
Yeah, Love and Obsession. And so it's like we have to get new writers for it. So right now it's kind of stalled. We haven't done anything for a little while now, but I do want to get it back going because it did get a lot of positive feedback. It was like a weekly thing. You know, people would log on to read what happened. So people do like that.
Yeah, get with me on that. I might be interested in something like that. But, you know, or a weekend. You know, I mean, it just depends. You know, those things like that are good things that you can do, and you can get your work out there and get a feel for a new audience of what's going on. So, yeah, I like that. So what's next for you? You got any book signers or anything that's coming up or something like that that's coming up with the magazine?
Right now, no. I'm completely in the lab right now with Lenora trying to get her done. But in this fall, I will be having a launch party for D Cup Divas, and hopefully, fingers crossed, Tia, DC Book Diva. DC Book Diva. Hopefully, she'll be helping me out, Tia. If you're listening, yay!
You know something? Let me know about when you think that might be, because I haven't been to DC in a minute, and I want to get back up there. I know a lot of the clubs that was on the waterfront are gone now, so you have to give me the new scoop. So I know where to go party at when I get to D.C. because that, you know, I love it up there.
I'm trying to aim at October and to make it even better, all of my cover models will be present.
All of my cover models will be present.
I've already talked to them, and they're going to be there.
We should go check that out sometime. I mean, that would be great if we can do something like that, because my thing is, like I said, I like the D.C. area, and I miss that. I hate that, H2O and all those clubs are gone now, but, you know, it's just, what are y'all doing now up there?
D.C. right now is in the midst of kind of a change. You know, they're really kind of changing D.C. over to be kind of more like a mini New York. You know, there are a lot more restaurants coming in town. There are a lot more nightclubs popping up. There are a lot more hookah bars popping up.
Okay, D.C.
Right, so D.C. is in the midst of a change, but I think it's a change for the better. I feel like it.
Well, you know, I like D.C., man. Like I said, if you live up there and you know what's going on, then I see that. But, you know, I always like what happens up there, you know. I've been to a lot of places a lot of times, lots over and over, Atlanta a lot. But my choices, a lot of people don't like my choices, I don't care. But to me, D.C. is a little bit more my flavor than Atlanta, because, you know, I've done a lot of time in Atlanta, but Atlanta is Atlanta to me. So, I mean, I like D.C. I like the intrigue of the small city that everybody know every damn body. It's like that here in Kansas City. But the thing is, you know, it's the intrigue of being around the monuments and all that shit that's going on in D.C. That's what I like. But anyway. So y'all got some things going on like that. So, yeah, just keep us informed on that, on what you got.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And,
I'd love to have you guys come out there.
You know,
I may be doing, I may need some judges for, yeah, I may need some judges for my D Cup Divas calendar. So I may have some girls coming in, and so I may need some judges, and word that should be perfect.
Do you have any photos of some of the models on your website that we can take a look and see what you're working with?
Not at this time. But
you're trying to keep me hidden, but yeah, okay.
I will make sure. When I do have them, that I'll have you help me look them over.
Right. Well, DB, you haven't been on Amazon and look at the books, Divas, to see what the covers look like or anything? Usually you're up on that.
Hmm?
I was talking to DB. He's trying to act like he doesn't hear anything. DB?
What's up?
Don't try to get quiet on me now. Have you been on the covers, looking at her covers and books that are out there on Amazon? Usually you're up on that.
No, I've seen her book covers. I love her book covers.
Thank you. Thank you. They're done by DaVita. Yay, Arbol Design.
Well, you know,
like, if your book covers was terrible, I'm like, I hate your book covers.
Well, DaVita, what's DaVita's last enemy again? And I'm sorry.
Free promo. You never got
it. Like my brain, I had a brain flood.
She does a lot of book covers. She did one for me. Actually, the book that she did for me was my book called Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel. If you ever look at that cover, she did that cover as well. She's great.
Yeah, Davina is absolutely talented. She
did
the pictures,
yeah,
the photos.
Right. I mean, Davina is really good. And I haven't heard her name lately, so I'm like, well, I knew she was. The last time I heard, she was doing some covers for CDs and stuff like that for a few.
Yeah, Vita's big time now.
Yeah, she has grown. She's done a lot of stuff for what's the people, the cartel.
She does all of their covers. She does work for Cash Money. Ashley Angel Clavis. She's done so much. They have their own publishing company now. They're coming out with their own thing.
Yeah, they're coming out with their own thing.
I mean, you would think, if anybody would,
we got a lot of some of their people are coming on the show, Davey. We're gonna in the next couple of months, we're gonna be doing some of Ashley and Aquavius authors. I think it's C.L. Phillips and a few of them are going to be coming on, Miss Santiago and all of them, and Ashley and Aquavius will probably both come on at some time as well. So I forgot to tell you that, Davey, but we are in the future here, going into the winter, we're going to be getting some of them. So.
Okay.
They'll be coming on, and they're going to be talking about their new venture that they got going on. I guess they're going to go on and get away from Lil Wayne after a little while, or maybe continue to work with them and just do their own thing as well. I mean, because they got it like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they got national best-selling, New York Times best-selling clout now.
You know.
Yeah, they doing some things. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And they're down to earth. You can talk to them. They're not like, you know, we're so damn big that fuck you. You ain't shit. You know, they don't do that. But, I mean, you can actually, they'll actually talk with you. And you know, Ashley Antoinette, which is Ashley, she is very, very, you know.
Oh, no, they're sweet.
Nice. I don't even know what to say. I don't want to say something wrong. Have somebody after me and shit. But anyway, you know, she's on point. I'll just say that.
No. They're very sweet, very down to earth people. They are.
And what I'm doing right now is I'm going to Amazon and I'm looking up D-Cup Divas. I'm going to see what's going on out there because there they are, the D-Cup Divas. And I've seen these books before, but yes. The one you did in 2010 and then you got 2013. Rosalind. So you're going to do each one like, are they going to have like some of your characters are going to get their own little pieces?
Yeah, like each book is the character. They're all in each other's book. But each book, they have their own separate story.
I love that idea. Very good.
Yeah, they have their own separate stories, but they remain in each other's books. So you kind of still keep touch with them, and you can read them out of order if you want.
And you got Sandra that's coming up in February. What came out in February?
Sandra came out first, and then Rosalind was next, and then Lenora is the next one, it's the third one that's coming out in the fall.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful, beautiful chocolate women. I'm so glad that you went that way.
Yes, of course.
You know, a lot of
and
times.
We actually
Nothing against the light skinned women. We love you too. But let's give the chocolate women a chance. How about that?
Actually, the last cover was Samantha. She is a darker sister.
Right.
Yeah, she's beautiful. I can't wait to do her cover.
Yeah. We're going to definitely keep up with that because we want to keep it on, and that's the way it is. And, you know, we like that. So.
Yeah.
We like what you're doing.
That's awesome.
No, we need that. That's why I wanted you on the show. That's why I told you last week, please don't be upset. You know, usually that doesn't happen, but normally, you know, we try to keep what goes on. But I my blood pressure was up last week. Oh, I'm telling on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had to get straight. I'm good now. But
good, I'm
you
glad
know,
you're
it's okay, and here we are. So we want you to come back, and any time that you've been on Word Sexy, you know, you can come back whenever you want, and when you got new things coming out, you know, you just come on and just let us know, and we'll get you back. And
sure.
Have you here where you can do what you need to do. But we're not done with you yet. We got 20 minutes. We're not going to let you go yet. So
okay.
We're going to give you a chance to
you should
promote you.
You should tell people that sound medical advice I gave you.
Hmm?
Yeah, the sound medical.
Like the when I gave him some sound medical advice after,
okay.
After he told
won't
me what had
it?
Happened.
Why don't you tell it?
No.
Since you put me out on the street. Okay, you're going to leave it alone. Well, just know that sound information he gave me was just that, sound information.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Yeah. But, yeah, just know that it works out. But, yeah, you just got to take care of yourself because nobody will do it better than yourself. But anyway, here we go.
Yeah, of course.
So, who have you all worked with? I know you work with a lot of people. I've seen pictures of you with Juanita Cunningham, Clark, and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that was, I work a lot with Tia,
mm-hmm.
DC Book Diva.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to call myself a photographer. I'm not going to call myself a photographer. I'm learning.
Pictures. Right.
I'm learning. I do have a whoop-de-doo camera. I do. You know, so a lot of times I at their launch parties and things like that, I go and I take pictures, and I also do it to cover it for BLM also because I've done it with Treasure Blue and Eon Williams also. So
yeah,
that's
Treasure
mainly.
Blue, yeah.
Yeah, that's mainly where I've where you see me.
Okay.
And I like getting out there. I like get because I had never met Treasure in person or Wahida in person, so it gives me a chance to really rub elbows and get to meet these people that I've respected for such a long time. You know,
yeah,
and you get to see
too.
That, especially
she's,
like
she's,
Treasure Blue. He's a big teddy bear.
Yeah.
Right,
I heard he was a big guy.
I asked him, like, how do you write stuff like this and you're such a big old teddy bear? How does that happen?
he's always preaching on Facebook, too. There's a lot of stuff that comes out that he puts out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Filthy minds.
But, you know, that's just the way it is, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I got a filthy mind, too. And my shit is like, I don't know what the fuck I do. I don't know where it comes from. It just comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 15 books to prove it. I don't know. I'm just a freak, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the shit's out there, and it's what it is, and that's the way it goes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I love writing. You know, I have been kind of slacking a little bit in it lately. But I'm trying to, like I said, I got this book I'm finishing that's
mm-hmm.
coming out this fall. And then there was also this Fire and Desire book that I did with Omar Tyree and a few others that's supposed to be out. I don't know what's the deal on that book right now. But
mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be already out.
Well, that should be interesting.
And it's a bunch of sorts writing about sex. Omar Tyree writing about sex. Well, he's done that in the past, but yeah, I mean, we're all doing it. We got Sheila Goss and all, a few of us, we're all doing our thing. And we're in there, so that's what's up. But yeah, so you have nothing coming up. You're just in the damn laboratory, just doing your thing.
Yeah, I'm in the lab. I'm trying to focus. Because, you know, that's hard enough as it is, because, you know, my ADD and stuff, so, you know, I try to focus, you know, because I really
ADD.
Want this book to come because
oh
I've been
God,
gone for...
ADD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We call it that
got,
no more.
We ain't lying.
Technical name for it now. That now it's like ADHD. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
God.
ADHD, yeah, some shit, yeah.
The next iteration would be 10 letters, so it's like...
Yeah,
like
FIDDD and shit,
you know, they had like 10 different drugs for every letter.
Right. Yeah, so I really want to focus because I've been gone for so long, so I wouldn't want to focus, make sure I'm putting my best into the book that's coming up. You know, so that's kind of what I'm doing right now. And also, I'm writing articles. I'm trying to get back to writing articles for Black Lives Magazine, and then I'm also writing articles now for Mean Girls Magazine, which is T-Styles and DaVita. Is there,
oh, really?
Yeah, their magazine that's coming up. So I'm really excited about that because you really get to let that side of you out that, you know, that I normally don't, the, like that straight
okay.
up.
Hey, well, I have a question for you from the chat
side.
Room. I got a question from the chat room that's coming to me, actually. It's
okay.
a personal question, but they want to know, do you masturbate while you're writing?
The person chatting got the ball.
I haven't done that while I was writing, no.
That'd
be hard for me to type.
Well, let me tell you something. My sex scene, if I'm not jacking off,
I jerk
if
off.
If I ain't jacking off, if it ain't happening, then it ain't for people to read. Because if they can't get out, if I ain't getting out, they ain't going to get out.
Right. Now I won't say that I've never written something and gotten up to do it. You know, like, it, you know, because there have been times where I've written a scene and it's like, whoa. Like, you know, it's like it gets down in those special places. You know, you got to go handle it and come back. But, yeah, and I've never done it while at my computer. No, because then I would never get anything done. And I probably, luckily I have an editor.
But she wants the scene to be right, so that when the scene is hot, this is a lady, okay? She's come to me on a season, okay? She said, you can sit on a vibrator and have your hands free while you're doing this shit, so that you can rock and shit while you're, I guess she's trying to give you some tips on when you write your
writing. Actually, it sound like she done tried this before, so
she has,
take
she
her
has.
Word for it.
She has.
Nipple
clamps
and everything.
Right, she knows
like
how to sit there right and rock. Yeah.
She like,
so, you know.
She the type of person to send out.
I might have to try
you know,
it
out.
If I try it out, when I come back, I'll let y'all know how it went.
Yeah, well, you go and fuck with that shit and let us know. I mean,
yeah.
I just don't get it. But is that wrong with it? I mean, if you're going to write a sex scene, if it's not getting you hot, how do you expect anybody else to do that?
Exactly. I agree with that.
Yeah, she also says she vibrates in traffic. In other words, she's sitting on a fucking vibrator while she's driving down the fucking road. And when that shit gets stopped in the traffic,
I heard that.
She's
got some good hand-eye coordination.
Off.
That's what that is.
And now we know she is an epitome while people are bad drivers.
I would straight up have an accident.
She's the archetype for the bad driving woman. She jacking off while she's driving. She needs help. She needs more than a vibrator. She needs, like, therapy.
She's just a freak, that's all. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That ain't nothing wrong with that. Like I said, that's
just
good hand-eye coordination. I commend her.
There you go.
You just imagine that, though. It, should she get in an accident and die, they're like, yep, we found this.
She'll have a smile.
I doubt she'll have a smile, but that thing still be going. They're like, she attaches to the car battery so it always keep going.
Wow.
That's not a bad idea, the car battery thing. You probably get a lot of power right there.
Yeah, you know, hey, whatever.
You get a lot more than power, I tell you that shit right now.
Wow.
But speaking of power, like how often, like Black Literary Magazine, how often does it come out?
Well, it's an ongoing thing. I'm thinking about changing it to where we publish things every month, but for right now, it's just free flowing content.
Okay.
Oh,
right now, we don't have
okay.
like editions and stuff like that, but I probably will to make it easier on me and the writers until we get to a point where I have, like, tons of writers. I probably will put it down to new content once a month.
I think that's a good suggestion because, like you said, it takes some of the pressure off of you, and then you can get articles and you can have a deadline and all that on when you got them in and when you want to, what you want to publish.
Right.
So I'm actually thinking about doing that to make it a little easier.
Right,
so how many editions do you have so far?
One continuous edition.
Yeah, one continuous one, yeah. It's like
right.
we just put up new, like, I try to do the featured authors that are on the front page in the spinner. I try to do those at least once every couple of months or whatever. Right now, I think it's The girl from Love and Hip Hop is late right now.
I got to change the subject for just a few seconds, and then we're going to get back to you. I'm sorry. TV, there is a picture on Facebook right now on Who Ride. You keep up with WhoRide.com, hip hop and models?
Mm-mm.
You should check this out. They have a picture right now of Snoop from HBO's The Wire. You know how she looked manly and everything on the show? Well, now they got a picture of her side by side with her looking like a woman again. And they're asking, is she sexy or not? Check it out.
Of who?
It's her. Snoop. You remember Snoop? You know, Abby, did you watch The Wire? You remember
I watched the first couple of episodes.
And she was, you know, she was helping them, you know, to sell the drug or whatever on the street, and they'll get shot in the car. Anyway, they got her right now, and after the picture of her, after The Wire, and she looks very nice. But she looked at, like, really hard in the show. Okay, so they're just trying to say, is she sexy or not? Anyway, check it out when you get a chance. It's out there. So let's get back to you. I'm sorry, I just wanted to mention that. You know.
That's fine. That's totally okay.
The chat room is dogging me. Does she masturbate? Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to ask the question.
No,
that
I
was given.
We all
doesn't everybody masturbate? I thought everybody jacks. I know I do.
My favorites are bullets, if anybody want to know.
Your favorite is a bullet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Y'all heard it from here, right here on Word Six Radio. A bullet is what she likes to use.
Bullet.
No problem.
Yes, bullet. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I used to be a passion party consultant, so... Oh, no
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Them.
Actually, that's a good place to sell your books when they're erotic.
I'll be off in a second.
Well, the person that is writing to me, okay, the reason why, DB, you may not see this in the chat room, but it is, it's in my personal chat room. They're asking me now. These are actual questions.
Okay.
This person said, hey, a towel will beat a bullet anytime, because they like to take a towel. And they come from that. So I'm just like, wow.
I would think you would get a little chafing.
Well, I don't know about
towel,
that.
Whatever
you
works,
know.
Okay.
You know, I mean, some people use liquid, what do you call it, lotion when they jack off something.
To me, a towel don't have like 1,000 vibrations a second, so.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 vibrations a second? That's not a vibrator. That is an earthquake. So if you vibrate 1,000 times per second, damn it,
you know,
everything you know is rocking. Wherever you go.
And this book that I'm writing right now, what I'm going to put in there is the fucking machines. You ever go to fuckingmachines.com?
I've seen them. I've
check
never been
out.
To that website,
check
though.
Check it out. You, those women get
I've
off.
Seen,
you
I,
might get
I,
replaced.
I've seen them before. They're actually a little scary looking to me.
We might have shared. Them women be getting, they be coming like a motherfucker. We might get replaced and shit.
Yeah, they look a little scary to me. I don't know if I'd ever be brave enough to try one. Because it'd be just my luck using it and the thing have a short. And like,
no,
just go
haywire. You just come forever. That's all. The vibrator is a clit orgasm, really. Mm-hmm. That's what we're hearing now. The vibrator is a clit. Yes, it is.
You
got to
get all of them at the same time.
Well, we got 11 minutes left. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you a chance because we can talk this shit all the rest of the evening and we'd be off the air and all that. But what I want you to do right now is give people a chance to let them know how they can get in contact with you, how they can get your books, and what you're going to be doing here in the future so that they know how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, of course, I am all over the internet on social networks. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, which is my new addiction, Pinterest. All under Vonda Howard is easy. Vonda Howard and not under anything else. Of course, my website, www.vondahoward.com. You can also catch me on blackliteraturemagazine.com. All of my books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If they are not in your local bookstore, please let the bookstore know to call me. I will make sure they get copies. And you can always, I talk to any, everybody. I accept everybody on my Facebook page. Which my friends told me I should stop, but I do. If you friend me and you got a picture and you in the U.S., I'll take you. Well, I even take the people overseas. As long as you're not in, like, Iraq and you don't have a picture up, then that's a problem. But other than that, I friend everybody. I'm friendly. I talk to everybody. I'm down to earth, so.
I don't know you, I don't like you. That is just my philosophy.
So is blackliteraturemagazine.net, is that you?
Yes, it, well, .com, .net is just a server, so, but you can get it by going to the .com.
Okay, because I'm looking at .net right now, and I'm seeing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, because the .com just pushes over to the .net, yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to make sure that this is the right place.
Yeah, it is. It's
okay,
because
you got this light-skinned woman, Erica Mena. Is she?
Yeah, Erica Mena.
She is. She is like the one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on your. She you interviewed
her.
Yeah,
we also talked to Winter. Also, we talked to both of them.
Oh really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't sound so excited about that.
Because the women on there be tripping so damn hard. Who the fuck want to talk to them?
Yeah, they're hot.
Actually,
both of them are really sweet girls.
I know they are. But see, it's how we're betrayed on shows that makes it fucked up like that. So
So
you know, I mean, they chose it. They're getting paid. Not a problem.
Yeah. I would say my favorite celebrity to talk to was Tyrese.
Of course. Who doesn't want to talk to his ass? I don't. But anyway,
I was
that dude,
who the fuck wants to talk to that motherfucker? Anyway. All right, go ahead. Damn, bro. You going to tell him I called him a motherfucker? He's going to be after me, isn't he? Okay. Like I'm scared. Anyway. It's all good. It's all good. But, we're just glad. I'm glad that you came on. Even though we went 2 hours with you, we got one. We got one fucking hour with your ass. So you just
I know. I'm sorry.
But, you know, that means you're going to have to bring it back again so we can talk
of
to
course.
You again.
Of
so
course.
We can
anytime
get the full interview.
You know what, I am here.
You know, and we got some spots shit later on in the year if you want to come back for real. Seriously, I will get with you on that.
Maybe
we
can do a giveaway for the series.
Yeah, we can do that. And we can also, if you've got some authors that you want to bring on that you have, you know, we can do that.
Okay.
So
okay,
we can
well,
do that as
office,
well.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds
good.
We thank you for coming. And we're not letting you go. Yeah, we got 8 minutes. DB, you got anything else you want to put out?
No, sir. You know what? You know, like that first hour really got a lot off my chest. That was very cathartic.
Well, you know, I
don't feel like walking
too,
the next door and just punching somebody in the face.
Yeah, I hear you. Not a problem with that. And just so you know, we talked a little bit about, like, we talked about the Trayvon Martin case a little bit, and we got into a few things, you know, a little bit of politics, because we're politicians. Well, we're not politicians, but we talk this shit, so we like talking that sometimes. We don't always just talk about sex or sexy radio, but we do talk about different issues. We do, most of the time, we talk about relationship stuff, but our consultant that we usually have on the show, Ms. Cotton, has been traveling doing her poetry, so she hasn't been here, and she usually brings it to conversation. We can do it, but we always like to let her do it. So she's not here, but she probably will be here next week. And we just talk shit. Me and DV, we do it. We've been doing it for 5 years now, and that's what Word Sex is about. A lot of people usually, they come through us before they come out. So we always invite that, so that's not a problem. So, yeah, we thank you very much, and if DV has nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and take this little 5 minutes, and we're going to play some outro music. And like I said, you know, anytime you want to come back, you are so welcome, and you'll get a copy of this interview so that you can post it on your website or wherever you want to post it.
Okay,
and, of course,
the
first hour is going to be us talking shit, but then your part will come in. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to coming back.
You have the problem that we need.
Or not.
We thank you very much for y'all
thank
coming
you.
On. So
have a good
we'll
night.
See you next time.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
This has been Word Sex Radio. come back again as we will bring you more in the literary game as well as the sexual side of things on Word Sexy Radio.